We're busy with a series. We've been pressing buttons. I hope God hasn't been pressing too many of your buttons. All right, I want to move on this morning, and we're going to go to the next one, the pause button. And I want to jump straight in, really. You know, when you're busy watching a movie or something like that at home, and it's something you're enjoying, when do you press the pause button? When a spam call comes through, they're trying to sell you, you know, life insurance for your cat. If it was a dog, maybe, but you know, no. You don't press the pause button for stuff like that. You press it for the important things in life. You know, it's like going to the fridge for a snack or something. There you got to press the pause button. Or you press it when the wife needs the loo. Again, you know, how many times they can go. But you know, then you press the pause button. All right. And so I want to quickly look at that this morning, because there's certain times in our lives where we've got to press the pause button. And I want to suggest just two or three this morning. And I want you to choose one of those, because it may be that one out of those three maybe is more applicable to your life today. And so let's jump straight in. And if you're taking notes, here's the first one quickly. We press the pause button for the important things in our lives. I think we live in a society that is just so busy and so rushed and such a hurry. You know, we constantly rushing from one place to another. And because of all of this, we don't really press the pause button for the important things in life. So let me illustrate it like this. Straight after our service this morning, I'm going to ask us to stand, as I usually do, and I'm going to pray for us. But before we do, if you had to just look around a little bit, you'll see people rush out the door. They're in such a hurry, they don't even have time to pray. I'm telling you, they've got to get to their car. They've got to get out the gate first. They've got to get a certain table in the coffee shop. They're in a hurry. All right, this morning is probably going to be the exception. I realize it. But come on, that's the kind of life we live. And I remember a time in my life where I was just, you know, so busy. And it was when I went from business and I joined the church here. And my job was the 20s congregation. And so it was a new challenge for me. I'd come from a fairly successful business, and I was going to be successful in what I was doing here at church. And so I just gave myself, and I was out 7 nights a week. How many nights? 7. Is that wise or foolish? Not stupid. All right? And so I didn't realize at the time. I mean, I was doing this for God, but in the process, I was busy losing my family, and I was busy losing my marriage. It was because, you see, I wasn't pausing to make time for my family. And so for some people, for some guys, they will lose their family because of alcohol. Others will lose it because of their sport. And others, you and I have seen this, they lose it because of their business or their career or something. And then others, like me, will lose our family because of church. And the enemy really doesn't matter what side of the ship you go over, as long as you go over. And that's why it's so important. That's why I want to suggest this morning that you and I just take time regularly to pause for the important things and the important people in our lives before we lose that. Because it's so easy for us to be out of balance. And very often we don't even realize it. And let me tell you, at the time, I didn't realize it until my wife and myself sat down and had a very serious conversation. While I did the listening, she was having the conversation, all right? And it was very serious, believe me. That little girl can get serious. And so that was what was happening. Now listen, let me say to you, church is good. What I was doing is good. And caring for people is good. But it was way out of balance. It was out of whack, all right? So let me show you what Scripture says. Scripture says here, be well balanced, temperate, and sober of mind, be vigilant and cautious at all times for the enemy. Listen to this. Why do we need to be in balance? For the enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a lion roaring, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. And so what it's saying is when our lives are out of balance, we become a sitting duck for the enemy. And for some people, their lives are so out of whack, they don't even realize it. Just like myself at the time. I didn't realize it. And some people, they find themselves, work, 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 work. They're never at home. They're just working all the time. And work is not bad. Please hear me. I believe God wants us to work and to earn our wage and to do well in what we're doing. But if it's at the extent of our family or the extent of our health or maybe even our spiritual lives, then it's certainly not good. You see, excess is the devil's playground. And excess is any area that's out of balance in our lives. Now, I'm not suggesting, I want to illustrate it to you. I'm not suggesting that it's easy to keep your life in balance and that everything is just going to be smooth. And I'm going to give you an example this morning of how to get your life in balance and how to keep it like that. No. It's not that easy, believe me. But I'll show you this morning how we've constantly got to move our attention. So this is typically what happens in our lives. We go through a stage at work where suddenly it's very busy. You've just landed a big contract, or it's a busy time of the year, or for, let's say, for accountants, it's the end of the financial year. And so what you find suddenly, there's a lot of pressure from work. So what do? All you do is you move your attention there for a while. And my neighbor's an accountant, and I can see at that time of the year, he moves his attention, and he stays there for a while, all right? But he doesn't keep his attention there all the time. What happens, eventually you move your attention back. You can't keep it there. You move your attention back, and then everything is fine again. And then down the line, you find, oh, man, there's suddenly this pressure here with one of your kids or one of your grandkids. And so what do? Same thing. You just move your attention there for a while. You keep it there for a while. And things get back into balance, and it's fine, and you move your attention back. And then a while later, you find, oh, suddenly, you know, there's a bit of pressure in your marriage. And as guys, we're the last to discover that. They know that stuff before we do. And if you're smart, don't argue it. Just move your attention. Take her for supper. Take her away for the weekend. Just take her somewhere, all right? And life gets back there. But we can't keep doing that for the rest of our lives. We'll go broke, all right? Move your attention back, all right? Now, unfortunately, you don't ever get to the place, hear me now, where we get to the sweet spot, where everything is nicely in balance, and you can say to your family, the guys at work, okay, nobody move. It doesn't work like that. I wish I could tell you there's a way to get there. It doesn't, all right? You've constantly got to move your attention. But you see, if you're rushing through life, if you're so busy, your life can be out of whack. You don't even know it. You've got to take time just to pause and just to see, hey, what's happening at home? What's happening with my family? What's happening, you know, my health? And you've just got to take a bit of time. You see, this is what happens, unfortunately, sometimes. You'll find some people, they'll move their attention to their sport or to their business. Purely because, you know, that's where their interest is. Sometimes it's even a hobby, and they'll keep it there, and they'll keep it. They'll get stuck on that hobby. They'll get stuck in that sport. It's like almost, it becomes like an addiction. And guess what happens? It gets way out of whack. They don't even realize The family has slid off on the other side. They're gone. Long time ago. But they're busy playing golf or cycling. Let me not pick on the golf or cycling or whatever it is, whatever the hobby is. Because they've moved their attention there. It's way out of balance. That's why it's so important for you and me to pause at times and just to have a look at what's happening in our lives. And you know what I found? God is so faithful that God will speak to us and God will give us warnings in advance. Before your life is completely out of whack, before there's drama, God will speak to you. And that's where the wife says, we're not spending time anymore. She's not moaning. Please hear me, guys. And she's not complaining. That's God giving you a warning. All right? When that child is busy playing up, and it's just there's drama at school and then drama at home, and it's... That's God giving you a warning. Move your attention there. When you find yourself in a sick bed suddenly, that may just be God saying, I think it's time to slow down a little bit. I think it's time for you to rest. But God is so faithful. God will almost always speak to us in advance. And it'll come sometimes through the circumstances of life. The sick bed, you're lying in hospital staring at the ceiling. Other times, it'll come in a service like this, where while I'm busy speaking, you just know right there, God has just pressed your button. There's something. Just respond to him. And other times, he's quiet, still Holy Spirit on the inside, busy speaking to you and just saying to you, hey, make some adjustment. Yeah, hey, make some changes there. But God is faithful. God will speak to you. All right. Here's the second reason we need to press the pause button. It's for decision making. For decision making. You've heard the saying, we make our decisions and then our decisions make us. And I think most of us can probably put up a hand and say, I've made some bad decisions at some stage. And it's normally the result of making quick decisions, making quick purchases. We never paused to just think about it, maybe to pray about it, maybe even to bounce it off somebody else. But we went ahead and we did it and we purchased it. And then what happens? Down the line, we're still paying off that bad decision for a long time. Maybe there's some of us here this morning, you're still busy paying off a bad decision. But you know God wants to help us with our decision making. God wants to lead and guide us. But there's a key. You and I have got to learn to press the pause button. To incline my ear to hear your voice. Because when you and I are busy and rushing around, we hear nothing. We don't even hear the spouse. We hear, let alone God. We hear nothing. All right? And that's where we've got to learn. Just pause. Just pause. And sometimes the best, I'll show you in a moment, the best place to do that, first thing in the morning, when you have a quiet time, just pause. Just say, Lord, what do you want to say to me? Because God wants to speak to us, and God does that, but we've got to make time to pause. So God wants to help us with those decisions. The Bible says here in Psalm 32, I will guide you along the best pathway. Notice that, the best pathway in life. I will advise you and watch over you. If there's a best pathway, it tells me that there's another pathway that's obviously, it's okay. It's not too bad, but it's not the best. And sometimes we find ourselves in a situation where you say to somebody, hey, how are you doing? No, I'm doing fine. I'm good. I'm okay. We're doing okay. But we're not necessarily doing well. You see, when we find ourselves, when God leads us along the best pathway, that's where we're blessed. That's where we find ourselves successful and we fulfilled. And there's just joy and peace. And it's like, how are you doing? Man, we blessed. What is that? That's the best pathway. That's God's pathway for our lives. How do we get that? How do we find ourselves in that? We've got to pause. We've got to get quiet at times so we can hear God's voice, so that God can lead us, so that we can hear that. All right? So here's the next one. I don't know which one is yours. You remember I said to you, you've got to pick one of these. Which one applies to you today? You can say, Lord, you've already spoken to me. Cheers, I'm out of here. All right? I'll understand if you leave. Here's the third one. We press the pause button to rest, to rest. Do you know resting is so important in God's eyes, not always in our eyes, in God's eyes, that He actually gives us a whole day of the week. He says, hey, go ahead, 6 days, go ahead, but the seventh day, I want you to rest. The seventh day, I want you to take time out. It's called the Sabbath. Now, granted, there are some people who get very legalistic about the Sabbath. And, you know, you can't do anything on the Sabbath. You know, you can go to church, and maybe you need to even walk to church. I don't know, but do nothing, you know, do nothing. And that's also not right. Please, don't get stuck in that stuff, because that's legalism. You've got to remember that the Sabbath was made to be a blessing to us, not a burden. All right? Come on. The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Man to service the Sabbath or to uphold some religious ritual or something like that. Just keep that in mind. So whatever it is, God wants you and me on that seventh day to rest, to recharge. And let me say to different people, recharge in different ways. Some people sleep. They need more sleep. Others enjoy just doing a bit of sport. They just recharge through that. But I think the first and foremost thing, we need to spend time in God's house. We need to do what we're doing here this morning, where we take time out and we say, Lord, here I am. I'm just going to spend some time with you this morning. That's important for us to do that. What are we doing? We're recharging. Just by sitting here, you're recharging. You're resting. And if you don't, you'll find, and we've been there, you're going to be running on empty. You're doing what you're doing, and it's tough, and it's hard, and simple things become tough and become frustrating. Even when you're serving somebody and you're helping somebody at home or at work, or even you're at the church, it becomes a frustration, and you end up resenting it. Why is that? You're running on empty. But you'll find when you rest and recharge, you can do those same things and you just take it in your stride and it's easy. Why? Because you're doing it from a position of strength. Your tank is full. It's easy for you to do that. Now, do you know that being busy and in a hurry is not something that's unique to our time and our era right now? It can be traced all the way back to Bible times. Let me show you quickly. In Luke chapter 10, listen to this. As Jesus and his disciples continue on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a village where a woman named Martha welcomed them into her home. All right, what's happening here? They didn't have coffee shops and restaurants. They didn't have mug and bean back then. All right. And so Jesus and his disciples, they're coming through, and this lady, she's just good-hearted, she's just, you know, hospitable. She says, hey, come in, come and rest a little bit, let me give you something to eat. And verse 39 says, her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. So, what's happening? Jesus walks in. And the moment Jesus walks in, Mary pauses everything she's doing. Because here's something or someone more important, and she's saying, I need to spend time with him. And that's exactly what you're doing this morning. You've paused. Whatever you've been doing this weekend, you've said, whoa. Let's just go and spend an hour in God's house. And it's good when we do that. Now, some people think, oh man, I can't really afford the time. Why? Because they're too busy. I can't afford to come to church. And I almost want to say to them, you can't afford not to come. You don't even realize what you're missing out on. Because when we sit here, and you've experienced this, when we sit here, somehow we meet with God. I don't know how it all works, but God's presence is in this place more than when we're on our own at home. Where two or three gather in my name, there I am in the midst of them. It's almost like God dwells more strongly amongst these people. It just is. And so when you and I gather in a place like this, God touches us, and it's different every week. Sometimes, you know, God encourages you. Other times, it's direction. Other times, God just makes some kind of deposit into your life. But, you know, when I see people come to church who haven't been to church in a long time, I'm thinking, man, you don't stand a chance. I feel so sorry for you. Not because the preaching is so great. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. But because of God's presence. Come on. Because of God's presence, you don't stand a chance when you come into a place like this with God's presence. And so some people think, you know, they can't afford to do it. It's like a quiet time in the morning. Oh, but I'm too busy. And so what happens? We're too busy. We're rushing. You know, we can hardly eat something. We grab an apple and then we go. And we're just too busy. You know what I found? When I take some time to spend in God's presence first thing in the morning, just to read His Word, because that's how God speaks to us, by the way. You open the Word, that's God speaking. You've just allowed Him to speak to you. And then you close it, and then you start speaking to Him. And then you keep quiet. Just those three things. Read the Word, speak to God, and then shut up and let Him speak. I say they're very nasty to the ladies. Because they normally got plenty words. Us guys, we just come, Lord, thank you for this day and just go with me this day. But then just keep quiet. Just keep quiet and just allow God to speak to you. And whenever I do that, my day is different. Come on, you've experienced it. Your day is different. Don't ask me why. But you're just closer to God right throughout the day. And it's almost like you're just more in tune with God. When it comes to decision making and stuff during the day, it's almost like God is so close. Why? Was He far? Because I'd been walking away a bit. And so I just come closer. So now I'm making decisions, and God's close. And I find myself making better decisions. And I find myself being less irritable and less angry. Because God is so close. And so, you know, it's you can't afford not to. But sometimes we're so busy. It's time to press the pause button. Spend a little bit of time in God's presence. You know, it's almost like tithing where some people say, oh, you know, but I just can't afford to do it. I want to say to them, are you crazy? Because you see, I'm looking at it from the other side. I've done it for so long. I've seen God work in my life and so many of your lives. And I want to say to them, are you crazy? You can't afford not to. Let me tell you about this friend of mine quickly. We'll get back to Mary, all right? Remember, we were busy with Mary. And if I forget, remind me, we're busy with Mary. So let me tell you about this friend of mine quickly. So he's never tithed. His wife is always tithed. And so they break into their house the one day. Guess whose stuff they steal? Guess how much of his stuff they take? Everything. I kid you not, everything. They clear him out. She's got cash, a wad of cash, in her bedside pedestal. They don't touch it. I can just imagine, you know, the angel standing there and saying, ah. It's her stuff. It's her stuff. Ah, listen. Listen, you know, when you've got God on your side, what happened? The Bible says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 11, by the way, Malachi chapter 3, that if we tithe, God will rebuke the devourer. Who's that? Satan. Another translation says, God will guard your stuff. He will guard you. It's the best security guard you can have. One angel. God just says, go and look after her stuff. Why not his? He's not tithing. There's a condition. You cannot claim the condition, the promise, if you're not fulfilling the condition. All right? And so they cleared him out. They cleared him out. But he got the message. And from that month on, he started tithing. They were poor back then. They were battling back then. I wish I could just give you a little bit of detail of what God has done for them in the years subsequent. God has blessed them in such an incredible way that he's become a blessing to his family. Notice what I'm saying. Not his household, his family. You see, that's what happens when men, when the head of the home rises up and says, for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. We're not having this nonsense in our house anymore. We're going to church on a Sunday. Come on, guys, come. We're doing this. And I'm tithing. I couldn't be bothered what you're doing. When the husband, when you start tithing, guys, I'm telling you, it changes your family. I wish I could tell you, give you detail on this guy and just show you what's happened in his family. It's been amazing. Listen, life works when we do it God's way. All right. So what were we busy with? Mary. Thank you. So what's Mary doing? Mary presses the pause button and she says, I need to spend time at Jesus' feet. What's her sister doing? Martha. Oh, Martha's busy. Listen to this. But Martha, overly occupied and too busy, was distracted. The problem is not being occupied. The problem is not being busy. The problem is being too busy. And there's a time in your life and in my life where we just become too busy. Busy is not the problem. Too busy is the problem. We're too busy to pause, to spend a couple of moments with God first thing in the morning. We're too busy to come to church on a Sunday because we got all these other things. We're too busy to pause to say to a loved one, I love you, man. Appreciate you. Or somebody at work, hey, it's good to have you on staff. It's good to have you part of the team. Appreciate you. And very often, we're just too busy. And so the Bible says, but Martha, overly occupied and too busy, was distracted with much serving. And she came up to him and said, now listen to what Martha says. Lord, is it nothing to you that my sister has left me to serve alone? What is she doing? She's mourning. She's complaining. You see, guys, it goes all the way back to Scripture. All right. Just being naughty. Tell her. Listen to her now. She's upset. She's upset. Tell her then to help me, to lend a hand and do her part along with me. All right. Isn't it funny? Our workaholics always get upset with those who are having fun. And so what is Mary doing? Man, she's having fun. She's just spending time at Jesus' feet. She's just gleaning from him. Like you and I, we're sitting in church and saying, Lord, just speak to me this morning. And we're just relaxing and just having fun. And that's exactly what Mary was doing. Martha? Oh no, Martha doesn't have fun. Because workaholics don't have fun, full stop, end of story, all right? Because they derive their sense of value and worth from the fact that they're a workaholic. And so sometimes the world looks at the workaholics like, wow, how are you doing all of that? You know, it's almost like we admire the workaholics, wow. But if they're really honest with us, they'll say, I don't know, I'm busy killing myself. And sometimes it's the mothers running around with the children from this activity to that activity, from this thing to that thing. And they think they're heroes, but they're busy killing themselves. And I think they're setting a bad example for their children. Your kids won't die if you drop one or two events, all right? Listen to Jesus. That was just free, by the way, to the mothers. Listen to Jesus. But the Lord replied to her saying, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. There is really only one thing. Notice that. One thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it. What do you think that was? One thing. He says, it's just one thing that you need to be concerned about. Relationships. Your relationship with God and your relationship with people. That's the only thing that's important, because that's the only thing you can take with you to heaven one day. You see, you can take nothing else. It's the guy at the funeral, very, very wealthy man, passed away, friends are standing around. I wonder how much he left. Pastor looks at them and says to them, everything, everything. We leave everything behind. You cannot hook your Fender trailer, take some stuff with you. You cannot make an EFT, all right? Everything. You leave everything behind. The only thing that's important, the only thing we can take with us, did you know there's something you can take with you? People. Come on. People. It's the only thing we can take with us. And so Jesus says, that's what's important. And pressing the pause button allows you and me to strengthen our relationships with people. Now, for most people, they don't realize this until they reach their sort of 60s, sometimes late 60s. And some people never realize it, that there's only one thing really important, our relationship like here and our relationship there, relationship with people. Because you see, if you think about it, when we start off as youngsters, what is important to us? Possessions. Because we got nothing. And so we start off and we got to get a decent car and then a house and then fill the house and then we need better stuff in the house and then we need a better house with even better stuff. And so it's possessions. And then you start moving on to position. I want a better position at work because you see, if I have a better position, then I can have better possessions. All right. And so we're constantly chasing that stuff. And then you find when people start achieving certain positions, what do they then go after? Power. Then suddenly it becomes power. Because now they've got the positions and the possessions, but they don't have power. Now they become power hungry. And then with that very often, and this is sometimes more for the ladies, prestige. You know, what people think about me and so on. And so what's busy happening? We're busy pursuing all of the wrong stuff. And we only realize, we only click this when we get to sort of our late 60s. Okay, so I've pursued all of this, like Solomon says, and it's empty. What is important? People. People. I don't know about you. I don't want to wait until I'm in my 60s to click this thing. It's people that's important, our relationship with God and our relationship with people. And so one of the advantages of pressing the pause button is that it helps us with fewer regrets. I think we all want to get to the latter part of our lives in our 60s and 70s without regrets. One of the saddest things is to see old people with so many regrets where they say, you know what, I wish I just known this stuff earlier. I wish I just pressed the pause button to spend more time with God in the mornings. My life would probably have been very different. I would have made different decisions. I wish I just pressed the pause button to say I love you to the people around about me. I wish I just had more ice cream and less veggies. And so one of the best ways to avoid regrets, just press the pause button regularly. Let me end with this last thought. Let me just say to you, every single day is a gift from God. It's a gift. The most precious present that God can give us is this present moment. I remember when my dad was dying of cancer toward the end of his life, he would tell me how he would wake up in the morning and one of the first things he would realize, God's given him another day. God hasn't taken him home yet. I've got another day for my family. And he would thank God right there. Lord, thank you so much for this day. One of the most precious presents is the present. And so don't get stuck in the past. Oh, the good old days. And don't focus on the future. You know, one day. Focus on the present. Because that's all we have. And it's not bad to look at the past briefly and to learn from it and some of our mistakes and say, I need to do it different going forward. That wasn't good. And it's not bad to look at the future briefly and to say, you know what, I need to plan this and get that in place. But don't get stuck on those. Focus on the present. The Bible gives us an example of a man who was stuck in the future. Very wealthy guy. And so he was busy getting ready for his retirement. And he was just focusing on his retirement. And one day, you know, I'm going to build bigger barns and this and that, and bigger investments. And what did Jesus say to him? Fool. You know, it's the only time in Scripture God calls anybody a fool. He says, fool. Tonight you die. Hook at all this. Go and hook your fender trailer. What was Jesus saying to him? What if you die tonight? That's basically what Jesus is saying. What if you die tonight? Who gets us all? And if I had to ask you that question this morning, what if you die tonight? What if I die tonight? Because you and I have no guarantee we'll see tomorrow. We have no guarantee that we'll be here next week. Do you know we do on average 4 funerals a week? That means there's possibly somebody sitting here this morning that will not sit here next week. They may be in a much better place. But I'm asking you, if that's you, will you be going to a much better place? Are you going to heaven? Are you ready to meet with God? Is that relationship sorted out? And if you're saying to me this morning, Leonard, it is. Maybe you're saying, I'm not sure. If you're not sure, I want to just invite you after the service. The pastors are available in the front here every Sunday. Just come out and just come and pray with them. If you want to be sure. If you want to surrender your life. And for the rest of us, press the pause button. Regularly, you find if you press the pause button on a regular basis, you're going to have better relationships with God, with people. You're going to find you make much better decisions. When we make our decisions, then our decisions make us. And I find myself today, listen to me, I find myself in a place and with blessing on my life that sometimes I think, how did I do that? And then I've got to remind myself, you did nothing, Leonard. You just followed in his footsteps. He was leading all the way. And that's what I want for all of us. Let's just follow the Lord. Just follow in his footsteps. And you find yourself in a place in your business, a place in your marriage, and a place where you say, how did this happen? I was just following him. Don't be too busy. This Easter time is a beautiful time just to pause. Just to say, thank you, Lord. And say, Lord, is there anything in my life that I need to change? Let's pray that prayer. Can we do that? Let's stand. Thank you, Lord, for what you've already done in our lives. And we've taken time this morning to very intentionally pause. And for some of us, you've already spoken to us. We already know there's some adjustments in our lives that we need to make. And so we're going to do that. For others of us, we just simply come to you, Lord, and say, Father, just speak to us. We don't want to be so busy and so rushed and that we don't hear your voice. More than anything, Lord, I want to hear your voice and follow in your footsteps so that you can lead me along the best pathway for my life. If that's your prayer, say amen. Amen. Bless you. Have a great rest of this weekend.